He's transforming your will. Because as you learn about him and you start to desire him more and more and more, you fall more and more in love with him. Because God never lets you down. He is the perfect friend. He hasn't forgotten about you, and he's going to do good things for you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Transforming Power of God and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today's message is going to be the transforming power of God. Our key verse is going to be in Romans 12, 2. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. That's Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open up our hearts so that we may receive from your word today, O God. Anoint me to speak what you will. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. The transforming power of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got any clues? The transforming power of God. The power of God, the transform, can take a sinner and make him into a saint. People truly can change through the power of God. It can be done, it has been done, and it shall be done again. The transforming power of God. I keep saying that, don't I? Because I want to get it into our hearts and into our heads and into our souls that God can change us. God can change us. None of us has arrived, right? The last transformation is going to happen on the last day when we're made like him. Amen. So we're all a work in progress. So any of you that think you got it going on, you're wrong. God's not done with you yet. So don't get ahead of him, right? Let him take his time. Let him take his time. He's working something out in all of our lives. Amen. God is a personal God. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, God is a personal God. He's personal. What do I mean by he's personal? Well, listen, he is very interested in us. He is very interested in us, and he desires to make a change in us so that we, in turn, can make an impact on others for Christ. Do you understand that? See, now listen, if all God wanted to do was to save you, you'd be dead on the spot, and he'd just take you to heaven, right? Right? If that was his goal. But he wants to transform your life to be a witness for his son, Jesus Christ, so that you can make an impact for others. That's what church is all about. Church helps God, not that he needs help, but this is one of the tools that he uses to transform us to be an impact on the world out. If all we do is come here and praise God and read our Bibles and pray and we just shut ourselves out from the rest of the world, guess what? We failed the purpose of God in our lives. We failed the purpose of God in our lives. We have to go out into the world and engage the people that we often do not want to tolerate because God has made the changes in our lives. Now we don't want to be around that stuff anymore. But sometimes we have to get our hands dirty, and that's why God prepares us. That's why God transforms us so that we can be soldiers for him and go forth and make a difference in other people. God wants to use us. But in order to use us, he has to make a change in us because some of us are not ready to be used. Amen. And some of us are being used right now, but God wants to elevate you to a new level. But you haven't been transformed enough to get to that new level. So you're stuck where you are. Lord, why am I still doing this? Why haven't I graduated? Because I'm still transforming you. Stop fighting me. See, God can go to a certain point and then your will gets in the way. And you say, okay, God, that's enough. I got it going on. I can handle it from here. And you're just stuck on that level. In order to do that, God must transform us. to make us an impact on others for Christ. So I'm going to make a couple of points here, actually 3 points. Number one, God transforms our hearts. This is the starting point for God, our hearts. Listen to Psalm 51, 10 through 12. Actually, it's just going to be verse 10. I'm sorry. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51, 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. How many of you have ever prayed that? How many of you have ever thought that you needed to pray that? Because, see, if you're not praying that, you could be a victim of self-righteousness. You could be coming up to God in your heart and saying, I don't need a clean heart. I'm already good to go. That's a very dangerous spiritual outlook to have upon yourself. You want to come to God and you want to plead with him, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Make me clean. Make my heart clean. Open my heart up. I want to have a heart like your own. Unfortunately, I know a lot of Christians who know a lot about the Bible. I know a lot of Christians who serve in their churches. But they don't have the clean heart that God wants to put in them. Yes, they're saved and their heart is clean in that sense. But there's still some more cleaning up to do. But they've stopped allowing God to do house cleaning. They stopped praying this to him. The psalmist knew that he had to pray this. He knew he had to pen this. He had to write it down. He had to remember this. Because this is important for your life, for the life of the church. The first thing God desires to do in our lives is to give us a heart transplant. You come to God, it's time for a heart transplant. Open heart surgery time. God wants to work with you. He wants to take our hardened hearts and transform it into a new one that seeks after him. That seeks after him. That hungers for God. That desires God. That just lusts after him in a spiritual sense. You don't want to do anything without God. You don't want to eat dinner without praying, thank you. You don't want to watch TV anymore if it's got vile, disgusting things on it anymore. You don't want to watch R-rated movies or movies that are inappropriate for Christians to watch. You're seeking after Bibles in bookstores. He wants to create in us a new heart that seeks after him, that desires him. Today's Christians are not hungry for God like they used to be. They're not desiring God like they used to be. They're desiring the things that God can bring in their lives. Oh, I'll follow God as long as things are going good. But when it starts getting rough, I'm not so sure about this church stuff. I'm not so sure about sticking out in a church that has a lot of problems in it. I like to point out the problems, but I don't like to do anything for those problems. No, maybe God puts you in that broken church to help mend it. Amen? Because you're to be seeking after his desire, seeking after his will. And his will is to heal people. Right? And to lift people up and to bring people into the kingdom. Amen? It is God who opens our hearts in order that we may hear him calling us. See, God's got to open your heart. Now, I know sometimes when we're dealing with people and we're witnessing with people and we're trying to get them to understand something about God, especially as evangelists, we desire so much that, oh, can't you hear my words? Can't you understand what I'm trying to tell you when it pertains to God? But unless God opens the heart, it stays shut. See, as a pastor, I talk to many, 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 many people, and I can't reach every person because not every person's heart is opened by God when I talk to them. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't use me as an instrument to perhaps crack the door of the heart open a little bit. Amen? But that doesn't mean that it's swung wide open. Some of us can look back, especially as older people, and we can look back in our youth and remember when God was speaking to us through people, circumstances, right? And we look back and we say, wow, I didn't get it back then, but I realized that God was cracking my heart open a little bit, just a little bit. So that I could understand something 5, 10, 15 years later. Amen? See, God's got all the time in the world. Unfortunately, we don't. Eternity is not for us just yet. Amen? Acts 16:14 proves my point about God opening the heart. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. This is in Acts. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. Who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. This is Dr. Luke writing this. Understand that she was worshiping God, but the Lord still had to open her heart to understand a revelation. You can be in church. You could be in your Bible. You could be in worship and not get it if your heart is closed. Do you understand where I'm coming from today? I'm speaking to all of us. I'm speaking to veteran Christians as well. Your heart can close on God at any time, and you could still be a Christian because you've just shut the valve off. It says right here, who worshiped God. Why would Dr. Luke put that in Acts? Why would he do that? Because the Lord put it on his heart to remind us that we could be in worship and still have a closed heart to God. You could become religious in church. Religious. And forget about the relationship. Right? There's a difference between religion and relationship, isn't there? Religion is a systematic way of reaching God. Relationship is fellowshipping with him. Amen? That's what we teach here is relationship, right? Not a religion. My second point is God transforms our wills. Now listen, before I became a Christian, I had my plan for my life all set out for me. I had some good ideas for my life, or so I thought. And I had a will for my life that did not match the will of God's. Understand that I hear this all the time, and I'm sure you guys do, and you probably even say it. I have free will. Amen? Do we have free will? But God can transform our free will. Not override it, but influence our will. And by influencing our will, he transforms our will. Now, when I first became a Christian, I had someone prophesy over me that I was going to be a pastor. That was not my will for my life. It was the last thing I wanted to do. And I did everything I could to run from that calling. Believe me, I did. And God transformed my will. Can you tell? Amen. But listen to Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It mentions the word will, right? He can influence your will. But now how does he do that? By reaching your heart. First step is the heart. He's got to get into the heart. See, if you block God from your heart, you're not going to get the rest of these two points that I'm making here today. Starts with your heart. You know why? Because that's what God wants from you. Everybody always comes up to me, Pastor, what does God want from me? Your heart. No. I mean, there's something I should be doing. There's something I should be saying. There's a way I should be behaving. Maybe if I go to church more. You know, maybe I should read my Bible more. No, he wants your heart. See, if God gets your heart, then the others, they all fall into place. Right? Jesus says, if you love me, you will do what I command. Amen? It's a byproduct of love. It's an effect. When God rules in our hearts, we naturally desire to do his will and not our own because he's ruling in our heart. See, what happens is when you love somebody, you're thinking about what you could do for them. Ever see a guy fall in love? He falls all over that girl. Listen, when you love somebody, you can't stop thinking about them. That's all you do is you think about them. You're like, man. Obsessed. Man, she's got somebody bad wrapped. She's got the game. Listen to me. Listen, this is so important. When you love somebody, you're going to be thinking about them all the time. What can I do for that person I love so much? And you're going to pay attention to them when they're talking, right? You're going to know their favorite color. You're going to know their favorite flower. Right? You're going to know all about them, aren't you? And you're going to pay attention. So when you fall into love and he's got your heart and she's still laughing, When you fall in love with God, you're going to be thinking about him all the time. And when you read his word, you're going to be paying attention to it. And you're going to remember what he said to you in that word because you're in love. You're in love with a passion. And every time something comes up, it's going to remind you of God and the word that he spoke to you in his Bible. And you're going to say, yes, Lord. Your will, not mine, because I love you so much that if I did anything out of your will, I would be separated from you, from your presence. And I couldn't stand that because I love you. You got my heart. He's transforming your will because as you learn about him and you start to desire him more and more and more, you fall more and more in love with him because God never lets you down. He is the perfect friend. And as you get to know him, you realize this guy's never going to let me down. I'll let me down. My friends will let me down. My family will let me down. My church will let me down. But my God will never leave nor forsake me. Because when God rules in our hearts, we naturally desire to do his will and not our own. You need to forget about yourself. Pastor, that's crazy. Forget about me? Yes, because God has always got you in his thoughts. He hasn't forgotten about you and he's going to do good things for you. Jeremiah 29:11, he knows his thoughts towards you. They're of good, not of harm. So why are you so worried about you? God's not worried about you. He's already got you. He knows every hair on your head. Psalm 37:4, delight. Everybody say delight. Yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay, I got a question for you guys. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, what's going to be the desire of your heart? The Lord. Amen. So what's he going to give you? More of himself. More of himself. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, the delight will be the Lord. And he shall give you the desire of your heart. You desire him in your heart, you're going to get more of him if you delight yourself in him. But if you do not delight yourself in the Lord, if you do not delight yourself in the Lord, you won't get more of him. You won't. You draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. This is a relationship. This isn't a one-way street. It isn't all about you anymore. It's all about God. And God will lift you up, right? When the proper time comes. Unfortunately for some of us, sometimes he has to humble us before he lifts us, right? To let us know where we stand, that he's God and we're not. Amen. Praise God. So we want to delight ourselves in him. Pastor, I'm not so sure about this delighting myself in God stuff. I want a better job. I want a nice car. I want a nice house to live in. Tell you what, there's people that have all those things and they don't have God and they're miserable. They're miserable. Their soul aches every day when they wake up out of bed. They got those things, but they don't got God. And they're sad. In order to delight ourselves in God, we must be obedient to him by doing his will. Obedience. Can anybody say obedience in here? Obedience. Just doing what the Bible says. In turn, our obedience will lead us to the desires of our hearts. These desires are a side effect of doing God's will. I don't believe that, Pastor. What do you mean? Well, if God tells you to do a ministry and you're disobedient, you're going to have a problem with God. Don't believe me? Read Jonah. Okay? The Bible backs me up on this. Read Jonah. You're going to have a problem with God. He was disobedient. He did not do the will of God. And he found himself in the belly of a what? A fish. A fish. Some of us are Christians today running from the call of God and we're swimming around in the belly of a fish. God, why can't I get out of this rut? Because you did not do what I told, but I can't do it or I don't want to do it or I'm not going to do it. Okay, well, enjoy that fishy smell because you're going to be there a lot longer than 3 days. Jonah woke up in 3 days. Some Christians haven't woke up in 3 years. They're still swimming around in the belly of their fish. Right? Praise God. We have to delight ourselves in God, though, because listen, if you don't delight yourself in God, when he comes to you and tells you what your ministry is, and every person has a calling on their life, well, if you're not delighting in the Lord, you're not going to want to do what he's asking you to do, because you can't do it without him. But if you're delighting yourself in the Lord and he says, hey, come do this with me, you're going to say, yes, I get to do something with God. He's called me out. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that it won't be a scary situation. It will be. It will be scary. And it will be absolutely impossible without his help. But understand that through your obedience, he will take you one step at a time to do his will, and he will bring you to the other side. Amen. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, our wills line up with his good and perfect will. Jesus taught us to pray for the Father's will. Amen. Did he not teach us this in Matthew 6:10? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Well, let's look at your kingdom come. Is this my kingdom? Is it your kingdom? Whose kingdom is it then? So we should pray for God's kingdom, right? So how come when I mention the return of Jesus, people always tell me, I hope he takes his time. Amen, sister. Some of us are so blind and out of God's will that we don't want Jesus to come back this very second, because he might catch us sleeping. He might catch us sleeping. The Bible says that when we're sleeping, it means we're not paying attention spiritually. The disciples physically fell asleep when Jesus needed prayer. And he rebuked them, didn't he? Can't you stay with me one more hour and pray? Wake up. And then we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I got a question for you guys. Why should we pray that God's will be done on earth? He's all-powerful, almighty God. Why do we have to ask him to do his will here? Listen, God's will is not being done. It is foolish to say, well, it mustn't have been God's will. Listen, God's will is not being done on earth, or people wouldn't be dying at this very moment as we're sitting in church and going to hell. Pastor, did you just say hell? Yes, I did. People, as we speak today, as we are in here right now, are on their deathbed, they're passing away, and they are going to the pits of hell because they never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. They never accepted him. You think that's God's will? Because the last time I read the Bible, it said that God doesn't want anybody to be lost. That's not his will, is it? So is God's will being done on earth? People are being murdered. People are being sick. People are hating one another. Churches are splitting up over religious denominational factors and rules and regulations. People are fighting, arguing. Our church has been vandalized. Our church has been broken into and stolen from. Is that God's will? No, we don't live in a place where God's will is being done. But there is a place that you can make it happen at, in you. You see, you can't control what's going on outside of you. But you can control what's going on the inside of you, right? Amen? Because God has given you what? Free will. To do with what you want to. You can decide if I want to be a Christian that serves God, or if I can be a spectator in the pews. I'll just sit here every week, and I'll learn about the Bible, and I'll pray, and I'll worship, and then I'll go about my life seeking my will. Or you can say, God, your will be done. When I first prayed about God's will in my life, he had me pass out Bibles. I mentioned this before, but some of us probably haven't heard that. That's how I got started in ministry, passing out Bibles at work. Now, you might think that passing out Bibles isn't a great ministry, but it was what God had me do. And now I'm a pastor. But you see how he starts you out? You have to start in the little places with God like a mustard seed, okay? So he can build you into a plant where the birds can come and perch. Amen? You have to grow. You can't just say, well, I'm done and here I am. Use me, God. Make me Superman. No. You got to go through some stuff, okay? Amen? King David, he's a perfect example of that, isn't he? He's supposed to be king. And what happened to him? He's being chased by the king. Amen? My third and last point is God transforms our minds. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit. Understand what he's saying here. The spirit of your mind. That's your attitude. Your attitude towards God. Your attitude towards other people. Be renewed. Because listen, the world is influencing you right now as we speak. The shows that you watched last night, they're buzzing around in your head. The people that you encountered at work, they're buzzing around in your head. Some of you have a boss that you don't get along with. Some of you have a coworker that hates you, is out to get you. Some of you have a family member that doesn't accept you. You got all of these things in the world that are after you. And your mind is clogged. Your mind is foggy. And so Paul tells us in this verse to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Get your attitude an attitude of kingdom. Get focused on the kingdom to come. Understand that you are a vessel now for God. You need to empty yourself out to be a vessel so God can fill it. See, if you got too much of the world inside of your mind, you don't have the mind of Christ. You're not thinking like him anymore. You're thinking like the world. You're thinking about what you want to do and how you want to accomplish it. But that's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to have his thoughts. What are God's thoughts? They're of good. Jeremiah 29:11, right? They're good thoughts towards you. So why are you beating yourself up all the time? God doesn't think those things about you. But a lot of Christians say, oh, I'm never good enough for God. We crucify Christ all over again. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross isn't good enough for us because our minds are boggled down with the things of this world. Satan will keep you busy with your mind cluttered with silly things that are what? Temporal. Temporal. 20 years from now, you're going to look back on some of the stuff you worried about and kick yourself. I know I've got sore ankles from doing it myself. Our minds must be renewed. Our minds must be renewed. Forget about all the things that you know and understand that God has a new teaching for you, okay? It's no longer about being number one, okay? It's about being the number one servant, amen, right? The world teaches us that we got to be on top. We got to be number one. But that's not what the kingdom teaches us. The kingdom teaches us that the greatest in heaven is the one who serves the most. That doesn't make sense in our mind, does it? Because that's not what the world is teaching. But I promise you, if you renew your mind in Christ, he will teach you a new way. Our ways are not his. Amen? We must unlearn what the world has taught us and have faith in the teachings of Christ. See, we have to have faith in what God is telling us in his word, because if we don't have faith, we're not going to do it. We're not going to humble ourselves. We're not going to open our hearts to him. We're going to say, well, you know, God, when I read this Bible, I got five or six different people that I can think of that needs this word. And you know what? If we opened our hearts and our minds, God would say, well, actually, you're reading it because you need this. Oh, I thought I was learning the Bible to teach others about it. No, no. You can share it, but it has to be applied to your life first. Open your mind and hear what I'm trying to tell you. Open your heart and receive it. Amen? Our minds must be renewed. We're not living in the world anymore in the sense that we belong to it. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't think like that anymore. If we are to think like God thinks, then we must think about the same things that he thinks about. What do you guys think about? Don't say it. I don't want to hear it. Take just 1 minute. 1 second. What pops in your mind? Is it of God? You get what I'm getting at? What do you think about? Well, listen. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Do you see what you're supposed to be thinking about? Lovely things, good things, pure things, of good report. What does good report mean? It means stop spreading the bad news about people and start saying some good stuff about stuff, right? Listen, you can find 25 billion things wrong with this church, right? It's not perfect. Your church isn't perfect. My church isn't perfect, but we don't need to talk about those imperfections. We need to talk about what God is doing in these churches of good report, the lovely things that he's doing. Amen? The good stuff. Why are we so negative in our minds? Because the world's negative. The world's against God, so we become negative. Well, I got a few things I could tell you about so-and-so. I don't want to hear it, negative person. What about the good things, like how God loves that person?
Well, I don't know if he loves them. I don't know if anybody loves them.
That's a poor mindset. We must have the mind of God and think about these lovely things, these good things, and to say good things about people and say good things about the institutions that we belong to, the churches, the people that are in our churches. Have a good report. Have good things to say about our coworkers. And if there's nothing good to say, well, don't dwell on the bad, right? And don't speak it, right? Stay away from that stuff. You're renewing your mind. You don't need to engage in that kind of thought process anymore. How many of you guys get mad at somebody because they hurt you and you wake up in the middle of the night and you start arguing with them in your head? Dude, all the hands go up. Those are the honest people. You get mad and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're arguing with them and you say, I should have said such and such. You know, I just thought I got something on them. I should have mentioned what I have on them because I could have really ripped into them about that. Ooh, I'm going to tell them tomorrow. I wonder if they're up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to call them right now. Why aren't they answering their phone? I'm going to tell them off. Man, I bet you they're sleeping. Why ain't I sleeping? Because your mind's not renewed. Your heart's not open. Your will is not conformed to God. You haven't forgiven your enemy. Right? That's the will of God. But your heart's got to be open to get that will going, don't it? But if you don't renew your mind after you do all the first two things, you're going to live in your mind a captive. Because you're going to be feeling like a Christian, worshiping like a Christian, but you ain't going to be thinking like a Christian. Unfortunately, the world, Satan, and even ourselves occupy our minds with concerns and anxious thoughts that choke the Word of God. Any of you feel like you can't breathe? Feel like you're smothered? Because the concerns of this world are choking the Word of God in your life. Mark 4:19, and this is what Jesus says. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world. You guys are way too worried about stuff that's going to be gone soon enough. You're not thinking kingdom-mindedly. You're not thinking about eternal life with Christ because your faith is weak. See, if your faith is weak, you really don't believe that God is going to give you a better life if you'd only sacrifice the one he's already given you for him. You don't want to let go of it, though. That's too much, God. That's just too much of a cost to totally deny myself for you, God, and forfeit this life because Satan is telling me that I only live once and you better enjoy it now. How many guys have heard that one? What a lie for the Christian. Now, for the rest of the world who don't know Jesus, well, yeah, it's true. You only live once. There'll be a second life, but it won't be a good one. The cares of this world. What are you so worried about in this world when you got Jesus coming in the next? He's going to rock your world, amen? He's going to bring you something that you can't even imagine. But you're worried about this world. And then there's the deceitfulness of riches. Some people, oh, I got to work like a slave so I can live like a king. What an oxymoron. And you never reach it. You can work and work and work, and then some poor smuck that doesn't deserve it wins the lottery. And you're mad because Christians don't gamble and you can't buy tickets. Come on, Christians. You know when the jackpot was up, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Like $400 billion? I don't know what it was, $400 million. You all wanted to buy a ticket. You know, Satan was telling you, can't win if you don't play. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Just one ticket. God, it's just a dollar. What if I get someone else to buy it for me, God? I'll gamble with their money. And the desires for other things. Other things. What is it that you desire so bad that you can't listen to God and His will for your life? What is it? What is it that you want so bad that is choking the Word of God and it becomes unfruitful in your life? You can know the Word of God. You can remember and recite the Word of God. You can preach the Word of God and it be unfruitful in your life. Paul said it. You got to be careful. You could be preaching and be lost yourself. You could be sitting there telling somebody else how to live their life because you know better and you're doing it, what you're telling them not to do. You got to be careful. In conclusion, God begins His transformation in us within our hearts. It all starts in our hearts, guys, right? Put your hand on your heart and invite God in it today. Say, God, start here. This side. It begins in our hearts. If He doesn't have that, He doesn't have you. Amen? Right? If He doesn't have that, He doesn't have you. Once God has the attention of our hearts, our will is no longer our own, but His. See, He gets the heart, He gets the will. Right? Right? Because we do what? We do the desires of our hearts. If God is the desire of our hearts, we're going to be doing God stuff all day long. Amen? And last but not least, when we think spiritually, we see the world in His eyes, and we live in spiritual victory over the flesh. This is where I want to see the church. Some of us are getting it, and some of us are just learning it. But when we start thinking spiritually, when we become spiritually minded and we see the things that God is placing in front of us and the duties that He's asking us to do, and we become obedient to that because He has our heart, we start to live in a spiritual victory over the flesh. We no longer want to sleep in on Sundays and miss church. We no longer feel ashamed when we want to tell somebody about Jesus because we don't care about ourselves and how we look anymore. Amen. Now we want to come to the church and say, I don't want to be lazy. I want to help the church. I want to do something for the church. I see what God is doing here, and I want to be a part of it. And I want to help. I want to help these people, and I want to help God make a difference in this community. Amen. Because we are thinking spiritually now. We're no longer thinking about ourselves and how great I'm going to be one day for God. Listen, if you want to be great for God, you need to come down to here and be nothing to yourself. You need to be nothing to yourself before you can be great in the sight of God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.